His health was failing, and his life was full of financial wrangles. But Frank Sinatra refused to stop giving concerts. Whenever someone in his family would say, you know, Dad, don't you think it's time to hang it up? He'd say, I've got to earn more money. I've got to earn more money. Sadly, his performances came to the place where they, quite honestly speaking, were more and more embarrassing. Uncertain of his memory, he became dependent upon teleprompters. And his daughter Tina talks about when she saw her father at the Desert Inn in Las Vegas, how he struggled through the show, and he was so sick at the end of the show that he had to have oxygen, and he carried it was so bad that he carried an oxygen tank with him for those types of emergencies. She says at another show he forgot the lyrics to a song called Second Time Around and said it was a song that he had sung at least 1,000 times. And the sympathetic audience completed the song for him. And then I quote her as she says, I couldn't bear to see Dad struggle. I remembered all the times he had repeated the old boxing maxim, you got to get out before you hit the mat. He wanted to retire at the top of his game, and I always thought that he would know when his time came. But at pushing 80, he lost track of when to quit. After seeing too many of these fiascos, I told him, Pop, you can stop now. You don't have to stay on the road. With a stricken expression, he said, No, I've got to earn more money. I've got to make sure everyone is taken care of. And then the article concludes by saying, Since Sinatra's death, there has been constant family wrangling over his fortune. What inheritance are we leaving our children? The inclination for most of us parents in general is a desire to leave our children a financial inheritance, helping to boost them in their financial future. It's part of the American dream. Part of the American dream is that every generation hopes to build on the generation before and then to help the generation coming after them so that hopefully through every generation the family is in a better financial place. There's not a thing wrong with that. That's part of the American dream, and in its place, it's a worthy goal. But on this Father's Day, as we celebrate Father's Day, I would invite us to consider if such is truly the important legacy that we leave behind. You know, I am amazed at the lifelong influence of parents on their children. I've learned never to say never, and I've learned never to say always. But most of us, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, most of us spend a great deal of our lives either trying to emulate our parents are doing everything we possibly can to not repeat their mistakes. And y'all, I'm with you when I say this. Your children, my children, are doing the same thing. They're spending a great deal of their lives either trying to emulate us or doing everything they can not to repeat the mistakes we made. Even after our children are grown and are raising their own children, we still impact our children and our grandchildren. A writer tells of a wedding video that he saw on TV that he said cracked him up. The video was shot from the back of the church, which means it was out toward the front doors. You know, the old axiom, you know, why do we put the front door of the church at the front door at the back of the church? But anyway, it was at the back of the church, and it was, of course, had a wide angle so you could get all of the wedding party. And so having all of the wedding party in there, it also showed part of the congregation. And as the wedding's going on, all of a sudden one of the guests jumps up. Yes! 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 And then he looks around, sheepishly sits back down, takes out his headphones and leaves them around his neck. And he had been listening to the Alabama-Auburn game, and his team had just scored. You know, we've all had those times when we were physically in one place, but mentally in another. And most of the time, it's not a big deal. Except when it comes to being a parent, and today in particularly, a husband and a father. Being mentally and emotionally present is so crucial. And it can be difficult for the young dad. You know, as we've said before, we have to face reality. We live in a money-based economy. So we have to make a living. It's not an option. And when our kids are younger, that's when we're either trying to build our business or we're trying to build our career. And that has to be done because the better we can do, the higher up in his profession, or the better he can build his business, the more money the father can make, the more options he can give his children, the more comfortable he can make their life. But what is so sad? It is so easy to do, regardless of our profession, is we can be physically at home and mentally at the office. And the children pick up on that. They know if dad is with them. Or they know if they're sitting in dad's lap, but dad's actually sitting at his desk mentally. It's so important not to only be physically present, but to be emotionally and mentally present. And our emotional and mental presence is also crucial even after our children are grown and raising their own children. I remember my dad and one aspect of him, and it's not a fond memory. You see, my dad was not a football fan. He was a football fanatic. Before football season, he read all of them, particularly college, he read all of the magazines looking to see what all of the prospects were, what all the recruitment was, etc., etc., etc. During football season, from the time he got up to the time he went to bed, football was on the TV. And then because of, you know, with Dish or cable, whichever you subscribe to, he found that he could watch college football all year long, because when it was no longer college football season, they had the games of the previous season on, and he could watch them over and over and over again. And we would go to dad's, we'd go to mom and dad's, particularly for holidays. He had that doggone TV so loud. Because he had to have it loud enough so that you could hear that game over everybody talking. And I often wanted to ask him, even on Christmas, "Dad, I'm sorry we interrupted the game." When my kids And let me tell you, I'm not the ideal father. I'm glad there is not a film showing my life of fatherhood showing behind me. I am not the ideal father. But when my kids come over today, that TV is off. I am focused on my kids, and I'm focused on my grandkids. They may not can say anything else about Dad when they're standing around his urn and watching the video if they're still showing those when my time comes. But I hope they can say whenever Dad was with us, he was present. When my kids were young, I tried to let them know, you come before my career, and I stayed at one church that I hated. But that's not a good word for talking to a preacher in a church. It was a very unpleasant experience. But the children were better off there. And I stayed longer than I wanted to. Now that they're adults, when they come to the house, my focus is on them and on my grandkids. Regardless of the age of our children, we will do well to strive that they receive the inheritance, that they will be able to say that Dad was not only physically present, but we were important enough to him that he was emotionally present. He was mentally present. And we dads will do well to consider the outlook we have on life that we send to our children to inherit. With very few exceptions, the life of humanity is a mixture. There are fleeting moments that overwhelm our hearts with such joy that if we could freeze time, we would. And we would never leave that moment. There are times of heartache that are so painful that they seem like they would never end, and it's all we can do to survive. There are times when life breaks our way, and we know honestly we didn't do anything to deserve its rewards. We were in the right place at the right time, or whatever cliche you want to use, but we got breaks we did not earn, we did not deserve, but they came our way. And then there are times when we did everything right and the other person got the break, and life just was not fair. Life is a mixture. But as we experience the joys and the sorrows, the ups and downs of life, what do our children witness in us? Do our children witness people who are full of joy and hope? Now, someone may respond, well, John, even if everything you say is true, not only are my children grown, my grandchildren are grown. I've had my time, my days of influence are long past. Now, I'm about to offer you a consideration, but I want to put a disclaimer to it. You know, sometimes you write something down and you wonder, should I follow through with saying that? And as I was looking at my notes to refresh my mind this morning, what I'm about to say is one of those points. I looked down and said, do you really want to say that? And then I thought and prayed about it. Yes, I feel led to say it. And what I'm about to say, it's not intended to be morbid. It's intended to make us think and consider. Even if our children are adults and our grandchildren are adults, regardless of your triumphs or your mistakes to this point, as the years add up, by example, we are showing our children how to deal with the fourth quarter of life. Some people call it end-of-life issues. If we live long enough, we show our children how to deal with the fourth quarter of life. As you know, Sally and I have lost all of our parents during our time with you. And through their example, some of the examples were very positive, others were very negative. I saw that if I lived long enough to deal with fourth quarter of life issues, I want to leave my children with an inheritance of genuine joy and hope to the very end. In an article in Princeton Seminary Bulletin, the author refers to an incident in the book of Jeremiah when he talks about how in Jeremiah 32, 6 through 15, in the darkest days of the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem, God instructed Jeremiah to buy a piece of real estate. Complete the deal completely legal, go through all of the hoops, everything. Go through everything with witnesses, the deed, the money, the whole nine yards. The act seemed to not make any sense whatsoever. Jerusalem was about to be taken over. And as Bob Dole said when he was running for president one time, I know it, you know it, Jerusalem knows it. Everybody knew they were about to fall. But he followed God's instructions. He bought a field because God had made a promise. In 70 years, Judah's coming back. And they're going to rebuild homes. And they're going to replant vineyards. And Jeremiah's purchase was to be a beacon of hope to Judah during their long years of captivity. And then he goes on in making his point, and I quote the author. He says, "My father at 75 planted a number of small fruit trees." "What an optimist," I said to him somewhat mockingly. Dad passed away a few years ago. Now when I return to the old homestead, I have an option. I can go to the grassy cemetery on top of the hill and brood over his grave. Or I can eat the fruit of his trees and reflect upon a man who knew a great deal about hope. End quote. What fruit will our children and grandchildren inherit from the trees we are planting? Paul instructs, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. And thus we have the key to being the dad that God calls us to be, and the inheritance that will benefit our children the most." Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for your love and your patience. For as all of us dads consider the road we've traveled raising our children and now enjoying our grandchildren, I'm sure most all of us can point to places that we would repeat and places that we wish we could rewind the tape and do something different. But Lord, we've walked that road, but you have still given us time on this earth. And Lord, we just pray from this point that you'll help us, that you will give us the power to live by the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit, so that as our children and grandchildren watch us as we live out however many days you grant us, that they may see dads and granddads that not only were in the room, but they were emotionally and mentally present. That they'll see granddads that when the end of life issues came about, that even if they had to struggle, their hope was in the Lord. Their hope was in the future, beyond this time and place. So that whether we leave them with a humongous bank account, or whether we can't leave them a dime, they will have the greater legacy. The legacy of a father and a grandfather who exhibited the fruits of the Spirit. And we left that for their inheritance. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as it is always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.